Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Computer's still acting a little hinky, my recorder, etc., but hopefully we will get through this today, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. It's good to be back, and you know, it's been about 6 weeks since I've been able to create a new podcast for you, and so now I'm back, and hopefully we can get back on course with the topic that I was dealing with before the crash, but probably not today, probably tomorrow, because I have some new current events to take a look at. I was looking at a few current events then, 6 weeks ago or so, at the time. And one was the local Seventh-day Adventist so-called prophecy conference. And the last event that I was dealing with was a local metaphysical event, which was called Mama Ruby's Holistic Mystic Expo, which was really not unlike the Whole Life Expos that I used to attend when I lived in the Los Angeles area. But I would categorize both as basically New Age expos. You know, as they say, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And this is no doubt another duck. I went through the handout, actually, that they gave for this event, which I wasn't able to attend. But a friend from my Sunday school class, Chris, had on her own accord just thought to print this out for me, and I was thankful. I was aware of the event, and well, this just really helped me out. So we looked at some of these things, actually just about every one of them I had some comments about, and my goal was to do a more detailed examination before the computer crash. This event, which, you know, is in small town America, reflects how far our nation has gone down the path of spiritual destruction, and I plan on dealing with the obvious spiritual danger and answers to this occultic activity without and within the church. Without meaning, you know, among those who don't profess Christianity, but who are opting for new spirituality, as they say. They like to say, I'm not religious, I'm just spiritual. And of course, as I've mentioned before, the devil is a spirit, and so are the demons. And so, yes, you can be spiritual and not religious, but not necessarily a good thing. In fact, a very bad thing, if you're going away from God's truth as a basis for your spirituality. Anyway, of course, over the last weeks, 6 weeks, there are a few more current events, as I mentioned, that I wanted to comment on. So I probably won't be getting back to that topic of the local metaphysical event till next week. I wanted to comment on these things, and I'll spend some time with these events before we go on. Now, to Mama Ruby's. As I mentioned, one of the current events, you'll have to forgive me, it's been 6 weeks since I've done a podcast, so maybe I've gotten a little rusty here. As I mentioned, one of the current events I already commented on was the local Seventh-day Adventist Prophecy Conference. Well, not to be outdone, there's another prophecy-based cult that is in town for actually the next 2 weekends, last weekend and this upcoming weekend. And this is the Jehovah's Witnesses annual regional convention. It's taking place, and I plan on taking in some of the indoctrination on this Sunday. I went down there last Sunday, really not knowing that they had already had the whole weekend full of events. But this upcoming weekend is really just going to be a repeat of this other information. So I'm going to attend their Sunday morning symposium coming up this Sunday. You're hearing this tonight, Wednesday. I'm recording this Wednesday, and I covet your prayers as I will be going down there not to proselytize, but basically to get intel, you know, to see what's going on with this particular cult, since it's right here in my backyard for the weekend, this huge gathering of Jehovah's Witnesses. the Sunday morning symposium that I'm going to attend, which is, you know, about an hour and a half long, you know, is the only thing I plan on attending because it's a prophecy-related event, and of course, it's a prophecy-oriented cult, as I mentioned. the name of this symposium is Future Events That Will Require Courage. And included are topics that should be of concern to any true biblical Christian. But alas, most of Christians today, it seems, or many Christians today, or many Christian churches, don't seem to have interest in Bible prophecy. And I'm talking about good conservative, basically good conservative Christian churches. Of course, the liberals aren't concerned with Bible prophecy. But, you know, as a result, one of the results of this lack of considering the whole counsel of God's Word, you know, 30% of the Bible is prophecy. And there are many unfulfilled prophecies, which even as we speak, we see taking place in our lifetime. So it's appalling and very sad that for this neglect. And as I say, one of the results of this is that people out there who have an interest, you know, so many people are going to look to these cults like Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses for their false views of prophecy. Now, you know, you remember Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, he says, "For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." He was concerned then, as we see now, there are those groups that bring a different gospel, a different Jesus, and a different spirit. But beyond that, Satan counterfeits all kinds of different things, including prophecy, as you can see from the false prophetic views of Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses, just to name a couple. Now, the topics that the Jehovah's Witnesses will be examining are, and I want to read some of these, or actually I'm going to read all of them to you, future events that will require courage. First, the cry of peace and security. And of course, they quote 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3. Now, there's a topic that many churches are not really talking about, and they should be. The cults are, and they're putting their twist on them. How about the destruction of Babylon the Great from Revelation 17, 16 and 17? Gee, what would be wrong with studying Revelation 17, verses 16 and 17? Now, I know that many of my listeners would not fall in the category of those who aren't interested in prophecy or discernment or cults or all these different things that we look at. That's why you listen to programs like mine and others on Rapture Ready Radio. So this is not meant to step on your toes, but it grieves me, actually, to see the lack of interest in such a time as this in prophetic events. Now, another one that they're discussing is the proclamation of the hailstone message. And that's Revelation 16:21. Once again, right out of the Bible, you know, Revelation 16:21. And then, of course, the attack of Gog and Magog. Why in the world aren't people interested and studying Ezekiel 38 and chapter 39 concerning this coming invasion, attempted invasion of Israel that has never taken place before and is yet to come? And it seems to be gearing up, you know, for such a time as this. I mean, you can see all the pieces coming together. I'll never set any dates of any kind. But again, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're interested in this, or at least they're interested in twisting the scriptures to fit their heretical views. But at least they acknowledge the attack by Gog of Magog. And then, of course, Armageddon. Revelation 16, 14, 16. You know, you see them on the street corner holding up their Awake magazine and stuff. You know, Armageddon. They've been preaching this for years. You know, a tainted view or a false view, but nevertheless. And then Isaiah 65, 21. The topic, it's called the Great Reconstruction. And then the final test, Revelation 20, 3, 7, and 8. So this is what I'm going to be checking out, just to see if there's any new ideas that they're putting out, any new false views or whatever. Just getting a little intel. And so I would covet your prayers for that event. And, you know, speaking of the, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses. The cults always offer something to people that are searching, as I said. And one thing for sure is that many people have a concern for the future in these perilous last days. I'm kind of reiterating that fact, that people are wondering what's going to happen. They can't help but wonder what's going to happen. Too bad that people are turning to these cults for understanding of future things rather than sound biblical churches, since there seems to be few interested in the prophetic signs of the times in so many of our churches. Anyway, speaking of the Jehovah's Witnesses, I recently heard that the A&E Network, along with Scientology, ex-Scientologist and Scientology critic Leah Remini, will be doing a special on the Jehovah's Witnesses coming up. So, you know, pray for Leah's salvation. She's not a Christian, but thank God that, these cults are being exposed big time. And in fact, not only is this special coming up on A&E, but I have become of no less than six different series on cults that are in the works that will be presented on TV and other media. Some of these series are going to be dealing more with sociological rather than theological aberrations of the cults, because the people that are putting these out are, for the most part, secular people who have this interest in exposing the bad side of these cults, at least on the sociological side. You know, the pedophilia that has been a part of so many of these cults, and other abuses of people, not to mention the spiritual abuse that we're concerned about, and the eternal well-being of people who will be condemned to hell for following a different gospel or not receiving the pardon that comes through the gospel and through the true Jesus of the Scriptures. But they will be dealing with much of the aberration of the cults. But either way, I say right on, you know, that these things are being exposed on a large basis here. You know, it's great when there's a platform that can be used in that way. I have a small platform here with my program. But, these millions of people will probably be watching these series. I certainly hope so. So I hope you tell your friends about the aforementioned A&E special. Also, A&E has a Cults and Extreme Beliefs program that I actually watched last night for the second time. The ID Network / People Magazine Investigates has a program on cults. HBO has something called Welcome to Jonestown that's been on. And then Netflix has something called Wild Wild Country, which is a look at the Rajneesh cult. He was the Indian guru who had the cult that moved to Oregon and took over the small town there. And then finally, CBS All Access, and I don't know if I know anybody that has CBS All Access. Somebody must. You pay more for it. I don't have it. I wish I did. I would like to see this series. But it's called Strange Angel. It's the true story about Jack Parsons, who was a rocket scientist who actually helped to found the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, about where I used to live. And I used to drive by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory on many occasions. I would see it there. And this series is basically about Jack Parsons, but he was also not only a rocket scientist, but he was into sex magic. He was a follower, along with L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, of black magician Aleister Crowley. Now, you may have heard that name before. I don't know. Crowley has had many followers, many particularly in the rock and roll world. Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page followed Aleister Crowley. And his name escapes me, but the most well-known guy in the rock band Deep Purple was kind of a follower of Aleister Crowley. And I mean, that's just to mention a couple. There's so many who've been followers of this extremely wicked, bizarre individual who has, you know, passed on many years ago. He referred to himself as 666 the Beast. He wasn't, but interestingly enough, he actually was born into a Christian, or, you know, he was in a Christian family. His parents were genuine, legitimate Christians. So you talk about a prodigal son, and this one never came back home, as far as I am aware of. But he had a tremendous influence on this man, Jack Parsons, and also on L. Ron Hubbard. So anyway, as I mentioned earlier, I had the opportunity to watch one of the A&E series cults last night. The name of this group is the World Peace and Unification Sanctuary. And this group is headed by the son of former false Christ and false Messiah, cult leader, Reverend Sun Myung Moon. I don't know how many can remember him, but I certainly do. I remember the Moonies out lying to people about how they were collecting money for good Christian causes and actually bringing the money to Reverend Moon for whatever causes he chose, including living in his mansions, etc., etc. But you might remember the name Moonies more than you remember the name the Unification Church. But now his son has a group called the World Peace and Unification Sanctuary. So he borrowed from his father. And why not? I mean, his father was God, right? At least that's what Reverend Moon claimed. And apparently his son still acquiesces to his father's godship or messiahship. His son's name is Sean Moon. And his group is an offshoot, as I say. Well, they're an offshoot of Reverend Moon's cult. You know, some may remember that Reverend Moon was a big financial benefactor to Jerry Falwell's Moral Majority. Now, please don't shoot the messenger here, folks. I'm just trying to speak the truth in love. And this is was a very grievous thing that's totally documented, that Reverend Moon gave a lot of money to the Moral Majority movement, which, if you may or may not remember, was a political, conservative political movement that Jerry Falwell founded and included, you know, Mormons because of their conservatism. And at the time, many Roman Catholics were also conservative. So, you know, how sad. You know, here you have a group of conservative Christians wanting to make social changes because of their conservative political views, and joining forces, you know, with basically three cults, the Mormons and the Roman Catholics. Now, I don't know if it might have been a bit of a secret about Moon's involvement, but it's documented. It's not that it didn't happen. It did happen. But I don't know if he was publicly identified as a member of it or not. But he gave money to it, and the money was accepted, and that's extremely sad. You know, and just, again, we see these things taking place and they grieve us. Liberty University that Falwell founded, you know, his son, Jerry Falwell Jr., I believe is his name, you know, he actually had Benny Hinn come and speak there to their campus. Well, Benny Hinn is not claiming to be a messiah, but he's claiming a lot of other things that aren't true and doing a lot of spiritual harm and damage to people, as most of you probably know if you're familiar with Benny Hinn. But I'm not here to slam. That's not my purpose, of course, to slam Liberty University or the Falwells or anything else. My purpose is to help develop discernment and get the word out to people about things that are taking place so that we can be warned. And it's necessary to name names sometimes. A lot of people gave money to Reverend Moon's Moonies because they lied about their Christian organization. It was Christian camps and all this other stuff. It was a lie, right, to get that money. So I just say be careful who you give money to, who you support, and just be careful. That's all. That's what this program's about, folks, deception in the last days. Now, just a little bit more that I might share. Some comments I have here. You know, how sad. Usually you think of ecumenicals as being liberals, but really this Moral Majority thing was really sort of a conservative political ecumenical movement. I mean, they meant well, I believe that, but you can't. It brings to mind Jeremiah 17:5 to me, because it's a scandal when we look to the arm of flesh instead of to God. And I think I have time to read the Jeremiah passage to you. Hopefully I can find it here. It's Jeremiah 17:5. And I wish I could quote it. I know part of it, but I want to give you the whole quote. Hopefully you're aware of it. If not, read it for yourself. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. You know, we're not doing God any favors when we put our trust in men's strength or money or power or anything else. You know, I'm a conservative political person, as much as you're going to find. But it grieves me to see this type of thing take place, and or that in the past, and even, well, anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. Reverend Moon, I want to give you a little bit more about him for those who are not as familiar. Reverend Moon claimed that Christ failed in his mission, and that Moon, as the third Adam, you know, the first Adam was Adam, and the second Adam was Christ. Well, he came to be the third Adam, the true Messiah, and that he accomplished what Jesus failed to do, and that is to produce the perfect family. You know, Jesus attained spiritual salvation for those that came to Jesus, but he was also supposed to bring physical salvation through the means of the perfect family. He was supposed to marry and have a family and all these things that you'll never find anywhere in the Bible. Obviously, Jesus did complete his whole mission, and he was the only true Messiah. But Moon, being the false Messiah that he was, claimed that Christ failed and that therefore he was the third Adam and came, and he accomplished what Jesus failed to do and produced the perfect family. Now, if you read at least one of the books about that family, you could actually say it was the perfect dysfunctional family. You couldn't get much more dysfunctional, you know, by people who were there, people who were in the family, who has the story firsthand from the horse's mouth. Now, his holy book was called The Divine Principle, although he and the cult gave lip service to the Bible. Now, Sean Moon, of this other group that I had mentioned, the World Peace and Unification Sanctuary, he gave a interview, or during the interview, that which was part of the program, he did not disavow his father's claims to be the Messiah. And though I wasn't able to watch the entire program, one thing definitely came across, that this group is a potential David Koresh, Branch Davidian, Waco, Texas-type cult in the making. They borrow from Reverend Moon's idea of mass weddings. That was part of the whole perfect family shtick that Reverend Moon would do. He would actually choose people's partners in this cult, and then they have these mass weddings as part of this perfect family deal that he was doing. Now, this group, this offshoot group, Sean Moon, have what they call a blessing ceremony, and this blessing ceremony entails blessing their marriages, you know, in group marriages, and their assault rifles that they bring to the event. You know, you can't make this stuff up. You know, maybe instead of asking the best man for the ring, the groom asks, you know, for an ammo clip. I'm not sure how it works. I'm being facetious, of course, but it really brings new meaning to the term shotgun wedding. Okay, I should get a rim shot now for two jokes in a row here. I like that one. I like both of them, but anyway, it really brings new meaning to the term shotgun wedding, bringing your assault rifles and blessing him at your wedding. Now, you know, watching this ceremony was so ludicrous, I can't help but make light of it. But seriously, this is yet another group that bears careful scrutiny and warning as a potential doomsday-type cult, and possibly more like Waco than Jonestown. Jonestown was a suicide cult. Waco was a homicide cult, you know, if you will, and suicide. But anyway, I would say that Sean Moon is that nut that didn't fall far from the tree, of the Reverend Moon tree. And of course, during the interview part of the program, when asked if their group was a cult, Sean said, "Oh, no, we aren't a cult." Now, may I say, what kind of a stupid question is that? Does anyone in a cult, or does the leader of a cult ever admit, or even for that matter, realize that they're in a cult? You know, perhaps the leader might realize it. I don't know. I know they're going to be culpable for their actions and what they do. But yeah, I don't know what the lady was expecting as an answer. But he pretty much gave the answer that I would have thought he'd give. You know, "Oh, no, we're not a cult." Okay. Of course not. Just because, you know, I'm the son of the guy that claimed to be God that finished what Jesus couldn't do, and amongst other things, and do not disavow that false Messiah. Okay, now, so as I said, I wasn't able to watch all of it, and I don't know how much of their doctrine was discussed. But for what I did watch, you know, I am thankful for A&E's dedication to their cult-exposing programming these days. As I mentioned before, I'm very conservative in both biblical doctrine and politics, and so it's extra sad when I see cults that promote and adhere to some of the conservative politics that I and other conservatives might hold, Christians, I should say, might hold. Moonies, Mormons, some Roman Catholic people, although, of course, the Pope is very liberal now, the Elizabeth Clare Prophet cult years ago, and this group, among others, unfortunately, could be, could, you know, the leftists could attempt to associate this with true biblical Christianity because of this group's, you know, interest and excitement over assault rifles and, of course, wanting to retain their Second Amendment rights, et cetera, et cetera. You know the devil would love to try to make Christians look as bad as he can. And so here's another opportunity for left-wing people and people in general to try to tie us to this this nut, you know, nut-wing group here. Nutbag. When I'm searching for a word. Anyway, you know, pray for this guy, Sean Munch. Pray for these people. As always, I say, hey, you know, we want to try to reach these people if we can, but they need prayer. They're definitely a big-time cult. Now, I think liberalism is going to have more to do with the Antichrist's coming one-world religion, and but there are certainly some conservatives among some cults, unfortunately. So that's all I'm going to say for that. If I have time, I'm going to read an update that I got from a man named Cedric H. Fisher, and it was on the Brian Call website. I think I have time to read through this, and that's how we'll close until next week, and then we'll look at this New Age information I wanted to look at. When God delivered me from darkness over four decades ago, there are numerous believers speaking the truth, warning about the advent of deceivers and other end-time dangers. However, I since have witnessed a significant decline in the number of individuals warning about the end times. You know, that's what I said at the beginning of my podcast, folks, so I'm closing with what this man has observed. What was once a popular topic is currently regarded as negative and counterproductive to the believer's peace, prosperity, happiness, comfort, and best life now trend. I believe, he says, that it is actually more counterproductive to numerical growth in this time of seeker and emergent churches. The blunt truth is, wait a minute, let's see if I'm reading that right. Okay, popular topic. I believe it is actually more counterproductive to numerical growth in this time of seeker and emerging churches. I see what he's saying. Okay. The blunt truth is that the overwhelming majority of professing Christians in our nation enjoy life in their self-ordered environments. Changes that involve any inconvenience or distraction from the delightful pastimes are not popular. They only want as much godliness as is required to be viewed as a valid Christian, and then fill in the rest of their life with pleasing and comfortable things and activities. It appears that they are not convicted of yielding their minds and emotional systems over to stimulation by every form of entertainment of the world system. It is perplexing to witness professing Christians become possessed with delirium over sports and yet seldom respond to anointed preaching, teaching, writing, etc. I view their compromise as extremely dangerous considering the period that we are in. The consequences is a permanently closed mind that cannot receive any critical information by the way of the eye or ear gates. The reality is Christianity is critically stricken with heresy and that the world system is near to being prepared for Antichrist. Those facts have completely escaped their detection. God, in his great mercy, continues to send people to warn them. Cedric H. Fisher. I'm a little bit over time. God bless you all. See you next week.